99% of these viewers watching this overthink everything. Like, naturally, if you're quite a smart guy and you're ambitious and you have big aspirations for life, you're gonna overthink things. Because you're thinking, is this the best use of my time? Could I be doing something better? Maybe I should be doing what he's doing. But no, you don't need to necessarily do what he's doing. You just need to stay in your lane, but just take inspiration. Work as hard as Rob's working. Take it as seriously as Rob's taking it. But if you're doing copywriting and Rob's, you know, doing what Rob's doing, you don't necessarily have to do what Rob's doing. You can be a copywriter and be just as successful money-wise as Rob. Because I say entrepreneurship is just resource management. People just think of their assets, their property, their money, stocks, crypto. People don't talk so much about dealing with your time. I think dealing with your time is the most important resource you have. You know, people say, oh, life's a marathon. I like to say, like, yeah, but we're sprinting the whole marathon.
Guys, welcome back to The Game Plan. I'm your host, Rob Lipson. Today we have Hassan Haider, Mr. Overpaid, on the pod.
Nice to meet you, bro.
Great to meet you, bro.
It's the first time I've met him just now, about 20 minutes ago. That's so cool.
Good energy, man. It's the first podcast I've done in Dubai, so I'm excited to get into it. Now, often when you see someone successful, they've been at a low point that has catapulted them to start their journey. Have you been at a low point where you said, enough is enough, it's time for me to make something of myself?
Yeah, great question. So yeah, so probably like two or three lowest moments of my life. So when I was 17, my dad passed away. So this was in my final year of school in year 13. My brother was 15. That was obviously not great, was it? So that was like December the 30th, 2016. So literally in the middle of my last year in school. That gave me more drive to become successful because my dad was telling me literally on his deathbed, his last words to me were literally just work hard, promise me you'll work hard. So I remember shaking his hand, just like kissing his hand, kissing him, just saying, yeah, don't worry. Because he used to always tell me that, promise me you'll work hard. That was like his main life philosophy or main principle, just work hard, work hard. He was a doctor in England in the NHS. So he was doing decent. Obviously in England, like he wasn't rich because in England, if you're a doctor in the NHS, maybe you make 90,000 a year. I'm guessing. He never told me how much he made. I used to ask him when I was a kid. I'm guessing like 90,000 a year. Maybe you get taxed like 30, 40K. My brother and I actually went to private school. That was like 10K each. That's 20K. All of his money went to the paying off the mortgage. So now my mom's house is paid for. My mom never worked. So he was very much like a hardworking guy, family guy. Didn't care about money too much. Didn't care about materialistic things. He had like a Renault. Now I have six supercars. So, you know, I just wanted to, I'm like the opposite of him in that sense. But yeah, that motivated me a lot. My dad telling me to work hard, all these kind of things my whole life. And also I got kicked out of university when I was 20.
For what?
So I got into a fight. I got kicked out of uni for getting into a fight. It was actually in the student union in freshers. So right at the start of first year uni. So I had a gap year, then went to uni. Right at the start of freshers, I got into like a scuffle with this guy. We're just pushing and shoving, blah, blah, blah. I punched him. Four of his teeth came out actually.
Good shot.
And then, I guess so. And then 6 months later, they called me into magistrate court. Then I went to Crown Court because they said it was serious, blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh shit, there's a chance I might go jail there because I'd never done anything bad in my life.
Yeah.
So when they called me in magistrate court, I thought literally it was just a case of they were going to give me like a 50 pound fine, like a literal slap on the wrist. Like, don't do this. Then I got there, they're telling me this is very serious. There's a chance you might go jail because I had a barrister come over and everything.
Fuck.
Then I went to Crown Court and then I just missed jail. Like I got a suspended sentence and they gave me community service 300 hours. And in the UK, in England, that's the maximum you can get. 300 hours is like the maximum community service you can get. So it was 300 hours in a charity shop. So that summer was very depressing because I just got kicked out of uni. Because what happened is I didn't go to jail because the judge said, I don't want to remove you from university. Yeah. I don't need to lose your spot at Loughborough University. Then what ended up happening is 3 months later, I still got kicked out of uni anyway, because I'm guessing what happened is the guy's parents must have just been like, okay.
Because they followed it up.
They followed it up and they must have really put pressure on the uni, because when I had this meeting in the summer about this whole thing, his parents were there. So they must have just been persistent to try and destroy my life.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, I'm doing well for myself, which is good. But that was basically, I got kicked out of uni and I just told myself I have to go harder now because I did 2 years of A-levels, gap year, and then that first year of uni. So I'd almost felt like I've just spent 4 years not making any money. I've spent 4 years doing nothing with my life. I got to go harder. So that was it, man.
Oh my God. So that's so funny what you just said. I felt the exact same. So I was always the worst in the year at school.
Really?
You know, yeah, in my you know, school, not college. I got like the lowest results of my whole year. And then I just about scraped into a college course. It was like business management, which, you know, I don't really believe too much in business college, because if you want to be like a doctor and accountant, yeah, you got to go. But I was learning nothing. I learned more from just going out into the world and starting a business than you ever would. But anyways, I did 2 years. I failed my exams each year. So I failed year one, got to repeat, failed year two. And I'm like, I'm starting to look like Billy Madison in here. I'm older than all the other kids. So I'm like, I got to do something with my life. So I dropped out.
What age was that?
So I would have been about 21 at the time, 22. Okay. And so I dropped out and I felt the same. I was like, I felt so stagnant. But, you know, sometimes you got to do these things to learn. Like sometimes they'll put you on the right path. And so what were you studying in college?
It was accounting and finance.
Okay, that's legit. That's good.
It's just only because I was good at numbers. I didn't want to be an accountant, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I get it.
But it's just, yeah, it's interesting that you said that. Because if you're an ambitious guy, like I've always been ambitious, but you feel like you're not making any progress in your life. It's just like, it's really painful, like knowing that you lost those years.
So frustrating.
Because people think it's not too serious. Like you're still young. You're 20 and okay, you got kicked out of uni, but loads of people are 20 broke. Not with a uni degree, but it's just, it wasn't that. It was more so the case of, I've just spent the last 4 years working towards uni, working towards this degree, working towards like exams and grades. And it just got taken away from you like that. And like all my friends are still at university. I used to see on their like Snapchat stories and Instagram stories, like they're out and about partying. And I've just been, so after I got kicked out of uni, I went into sales. I did a door-to-door sales job. So I was just knocking on doors all day long and I'm just seeing them. I'm not making money at this point, making very little money. And I'm seeing them have fun on Snapchat. It's like they're partying with girls. They're having fun. They're doing all these things. And I was just like, what? Like, what? This is so unfair. This is crazy, blah, blah, blah. So honestly, like I always knew I'd be successful, but there are times when you start thinking like, what? Like maybe life isn't just a movie. Maybe it's not going to work out for me and all these things. So it's very depressing times, but I was never depressed. I've always been very strong-minded. And I just knew that if I worked hard, I'd be fine eventually.
Nice. So we have started the podcast with your father passing away. Very sorry to that. Then yeah. there was mention of supercars. There's fights. There's going to jail. This is going to be a good episode, people.
Yeah, it's gonna be good. I like this podcast. Yeah. Boys, you told me before. So I used to know of Rob. Not used to, I mean, I still know of you. I saw a few of your videos when I was much, much younger. I'd always see you pop up in the fitness industry because I used to like watching gym videos ages ago. It's like you, Simeon Panda, Ulysses, all these people.
Yeah.
Who, your friend we were just talking about, Joe
Delaney. Joseph Rackage, Joe Delaney. Yeah,
sure. I used to see your videos with him, Mike Thurston, all these people.
Yeah, we're all still going.
That was like 8 years ago. I saw a video of him before I had any money. It was just saying like how I made my first 100K with the fitness stuff. I was like, oh, this guy's giving an actual good game. He's being quite honest with his viewers.
Always, man. YouTube is like my, I have so much love for it. It's where I built my main community. So that's why, you know, I seen you upload more recently. Yeah. So yeah, good to see it.
And then he told me he watched like an hour and a half video of me on the 48 Laws of Money.
The 48 Laws of Money. Yeah. So I actually, while we're on that topic, I want you to, what are your top three favorite laws out of all them? My favorite one personally was daily money. But the first three that comes to your mind, what do you think are really important?
They're all so good.
Let's just recite them for this podcast.
I'd say do more, think less. Like that's related to the speed. Do more, think less is 100% one of the laws. Just like speed, 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 do more, think less. Because speed, just doing things quickly and doing more, thinking less, they're kind of the same point almost. Like for me, maybe my top three are all to do with just time. Maybe with the time I wrote that ebook and then I made that video because it was an ebook and a video, maybe it's changed slightly. But now it's almost like if I was to rewrite the whole book, it'd be 48 laws on just time management and just being efficient with your time. I really believe like time is just the only thing you have now. As you're getting, as I'm just getting older and older, I'm 24 now, I realize like time is everything. Because I'd say entrepreneurship is just resource management. So it's like, okay, we have time to manage. We have people just think of their assets, their property, their money, stocks, crypto, staff, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe you're managing your emotions, you're dealing with your emotions, but people don't talk so much about dealing with your time. I think dealing with your time is the most important resource you have. So yeah, I'd say do more, think less, because a lot of people, 99% of these viewers watching this, 99.9, overthink everything. I used to overthink everything. Naturally, if you're quite a smart guy and you're ambitious and you have big aspirations for life, you're gonna overthink things because you're thinking, is this the best use of my time? Could I be doing something better? Maybe you see someone like Rob doing really well online and you're like, maybe I should be doing what he's doing. But no, you don't need to necessarily do what he's doing. You just need to stay in your lane, but just take inspiration. Work as hard as Rob's working. Take it as seriously as Rob's taking it. But if you're doing copywriting and Rob's, you know, doing what Rob's doing, doing lots of things, you don't necessarily have to do what Rob's doing. You can be a copywriter and be just as successful money-wise as Rob. So it's kind of like that mindset. It's just like, do more, think less. Action removes doubt. The more you do, the less you have time to doubt and overthink things. Because I find myself, even now, if I wasn't doing this podcast and I'm just at home, say I was staring at the ceiling, I start, and I'm a multimillionaire, I start getting depressed and thinking, maybe I'm a loser. Maybe I got lucky. Maybe it's all going to go away. I start thinking all these things. So I always keep myself busy, whether it's a tweet, whether it's messaging you, whether it's setting up a next podcast, whether it's doing a podcast. What about you?
Yeah, so it's actually funny you say that. I was just writing, I wrote out 32 things that I learned by 32, you know? So nice. I'm a bit older than you. I got some questions for you,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I got some questions for you as well.
Yeah. And so one of the things that I wrote was, when I've seen guys get depressed and low, it's always because they're too docile. They're too... just, they have nothing to do. They get bored. If you allow yourself to get bored and aimless, lost direction, then that's when you start getting down depressed. If you're working towards something, you literally don't have the time to feel bad. You don't have the time to feel your emotions. You're just thinking about the next thing. You're like, let's go. But if you're hanging around moping, that's when, you know, the self-doubt comes into things.
100%.
Yeah.
Like even if you're broke right now, even if you're poor, whatever, you could be 20, you could be 30, whatever. If you're working two jobs, you've got a girlfriend, you're going to the gym, or maybe you're doing sparring, you're doing fighting, whatever. Maybe you're learning, maybe you're reading this book as well. Maybe you're watching this podcast as well. You literally haven't got time to kind of question your existence. You're just always doing something. You're like, people say, yeah, but then it's almost like you're, what's the thing they use? They say like you're almost on a hamster wheel. You're always just chasing, yes. You're always running. You haven't got time to appreciate the moment, but that's
good. I don't want to appreciate the moment. Yeah. Fuck the moment.
And like the times when I appreciate the moment, you were just talking about you living in Marbella. I appreciate the moment when I was just in Marbella 6, 7, 8 months ago with my girlfriend. I'm just in Nobu and I'm waiting for my food to come. Then maybe I can appreciate it for
for
5, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But in general, I like to say like, you know, people say, oh, life's a marathon. I like to say like, yeah, but we're sprinting the whole marathon. That's what I say.
Oh my God, that's a banger. Yeah, that's going to the intro.
Because business is very much like, it is a marathon, but you're also competing against the people like me who are sprinting every day, like yourself, who are always doing things.
Yeah,
always
you gotta go fast.
Next country, next podcast, next business relationship, next boom, 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 boom.
Yeah. So. And people always say like, oh, you know, be patient, take it slow. But there's another motherfucker out there who ain't taking it slow. You know, there's some fat people moving fast. They're failing fast and they're winning fast as well.
That's a very big thing, failing fast, because in school, the way the whole system's set up, in my opinion, the whole schooling system is just set up to design. It's designed to waste people's time.
Agree. Like, it's designed to put you into the system.
100%. Bro, I say school is a funnel to university and people don't understand that. Just like with sales, you have like maybe a low ticket product, a higher ticket product. You have free content and you have a paid stuff. We have funnels in place, obviously, right? Every business has funnels in place. Starbucks has funnels, everything, right? Yeah. School is a funnel to university, right? It's just they're indoctrinating you this whole time for 18 years, 15 years, however long it is, saying, yo, you should go to university, you should go to university. And then they put you in massive debt. And I think in America, you can't even declare bankruptcy for that debt. So you're literally, before you were a slave because of chains, now you're a slave because of debt and you can't escape.
Bro, college debt in America, I've been reading into it recently. It's the only country in the world where it racks up like that much. It's like in the hundreds of thousands. Yeah. I can't believe it. Like it's absolutely crazy. And you're given these multiple six-figure loans to 19-year-old kids. That's the most fucking crazy thing. Like in college in like Ireland and UK even, it's like a couple grand a year. It's not that expensive. But in America, it's like hundreds of thousands. It's nuts. It's like, imagine if you gave, so let's say you get out of college, you're like 25 and you've got like 200 grand debt. Imagine someone gave that 25-year-old 200 grand to go start a business. They'd fucking kill it.
Even if they wouldn't kill it, if you ask them, would you rather spend that money on traveling the world, going to like networking events and all these things, even if they just blew the money, it'd be better than the education some of these guys are getting. You know what? It's kind of sad, but it's also interesting for this podcast. One of the guys I used to live with in uni. So after the first year of uni, this podcast, we might be going back and forth.
I haven't even got to the second topic.
Yeah. There's a lot to talk
brilliant.
About.
It's brilliant.
I'm excited about this podcast.
Bad, yeah.
But basically, I was at uni first year. Right? I told you I got kicked out of uni, but because I had already agreed to move into a student house. So the first year you're living in a dorm on the campus. My friends and I in first year had already agreed to live in a student house. And because I got kicked out, that obviously changed the plans. But I was telling myself, you know what? I'm not going to let them, just by kicking me out of uni, stop me from like experiencing this thing with my friends in the student house. So I was like, okay, while I'm figuring out what to do, while I get a job, I'll still live with them. Anyway, I moved out after a few months, but I still experienced that student life in a student house for 3 months. Anyway, one of the guys I live with in that student house, he joined my private network the other day. Well, he put a deposit down. He's making the rest of the payment today, I think.
Nice.
And he's a truck driver. He's a truck driver now. And he was at the same uni as me, Loughborough University. It's one of the best unis in the country. And he was a truck driver because nowadays, the point I'm trying to make is the degrees aren't worth that much money.
Yeah.
They're not worth that much. They're not that special because every year there's more and more degrees. Every year it's becoming less and less important.
So it's the first time in the history of humanity where you don't need to go to college to get certain information. You can literally get information on anything on YouTube, online. You can actually like, so it's really funny. I think actually this guy's on Twitter. You know, his username is You're a Lazy Fuck.
Yeah, exactly.
So he did a tweet and it was like, the best videos on YouTube are the ones that have like 200 views and they're like a billionaire dropping game for 40 minutes. Yeah. But no one wants to watch them because they're not like a Mr. Beast video.
It's not dopamine production.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not TikTok brain stimulating enough. And it's like, you can actually get billionaires' advice for free on YouTube. You couldn't do that in the 1950s. You couldn't do that in the 60s, 70s, 80s. You couldn't do that until like a couple of years ago. So it's the first time in history where you don't actually need a third level education to simply get this information. So it's a wild time to be alive. And so the question for you is, do you think college is necessary to succeed in today's day and age?
I think college is pretty much a waste of time. It's completely and utterly a waste of time. Unless, like you said, you want to be a doctor, unless you want to be a lawyer. I think mostly it's a waste of time. I think people use it as an excuse to party for those years. And maybe there's nothing even wrong with that. Like, I'm not one of these guys online just because I made some money. I say to people like, yeah, if you go to college, you're a loser. Maybe I might say that to troll people online.
Yeah.
It's like a trolling video. Yeah. But my actual opinion, if you ask me, Hassan, do you think college is a waste of time? I'll say, I think personally it's a waste of time. But if you want to go there just to date loads of girls and have loads of fun and enjoy your 19, 20, 21 years,
yeah,
do it.
Yes,
yeah, like do idea. It. It's not really a bad idea.
Yeah.
Maybe never in your life are you going to be in a campus, on a campus with so many people around you, so many parties. It's kind of like, it's a once in a lifetime experience.
Yeah, true.
So I'm happy I went to that. I'm literally happy. It went perfectly. I had 1 year of uni. I experienced that life, but then I left. Well, I got kicked out. And it forced me to then take business seriously. It literally couldn't have gone better.
Me and Hassan are now pro-college. Pro-college if you want to party for a little bit.
What do you think? Are you think college is... Like, would you tell your son to go to college or no?
No, actually... So it was a big waste of time for me. If he wants to be something like, you know, doctor, lawyer, whatever, I would allow him to go. I'd say crack on. But if he wants to start a business and work for himself, yeah, I would actually just point him in the way of some resources to learn about it, and I would give him like maybe 50 grand and I'd say, go start a business, you know, go set up a company, go hire like a few staff, go buy some product and just try sell it. And because you'll actually learn more from just doing that than sitting in a classroom with a lecturer who doesn't have a business.
It's not even close. Yeah, it's not even close. Yeah, it's not comparable. I think college is good if you literally want to go to have, I mean, what would you say to people who say things like, yeah, but what about if you go to one of these Ivy League schools like Harvard, MIT?
I would say there's still going to be guys that have lapped out the Ivy League guys. There was one, it was a company. Oh yeah. Okay. So I was watching, I think his name is Noah Kagan. He's a YouTuber and he just interviews, you know, millionaires. Like he would knock on their door from Malibu Mansion and he'd go up to him just, you know, with the portable wireless mic and he'd say, hey, I'm interviewing millionaires. Tell us how you did it. Or he goes on to first class, business class seats. And he says, how do you, it's a really good channel. I always watch it.
Noah Kagan.
And he goes to one guy and it was he owns a construction company. And he said, hey, how did you make your millions? And he goes, I was 18 years old and I dropped out of college and someone asked me to renovate their house. So I built their house for them. And then he goes, and then the neighbor asked me to do it. And then that neighbor and do it. And that's how that he just got it by starting. You know, so you don't need, there's no barrier to entry if you want to start a business.
Do more, think less. Like
do more, think less.
I guess that leads to another very valuable business lesson, which is referrals are very powerful. A lot of people say things like, oh, it's all about the marketing. Well, marketing is very important, but if the product is not good, then you're not going to get any word of mouth marketing. Word of mouth marketing is the most powerful thing. So I have a door-to-door sales team now in England. And
what?
Yeah.
Fuck, that's original.
Yeah, yeah.
That's dope.
So I started off doing door-to-door sales, knocking on doors, selling boilers and underfloor insulation. Then after about 10 or 11 months, I was just like, well, I'm tired to knocking on doors. And I was saying this on a podcast the other day, we worked out that I probably knocked on like 13, 14,000 doors myself. So I have a lot of experience talking to random people.
That's the ultimate way to get your sales game.
It's how
up.
You learn. But yeah, what I learned is doing that. And also now with my team, I learned that word of mouth marketing is everything. The best and easiest sale is if you have someone, let's say I sell to someone like yourself, for example, and then you say, oh, my mom's living three streets down. And then we just quickly go and knock on your mom's door. Yeah, my son, Rob, he just told me, blah, blah, blah. You know,
yeah, because like it builds trust and authority. And I'll tell you from, so, you know, what I do fitness coaching, you know, high ticket, the app and everything. But I actually just on one of my high ticket VIP programs, this guy from San Diego, I gave him his plan and straight away, you know, it was really in depth, like, especially when you sign up to the highest level and straight away he goes, oh, this is what my friend is looking for. Can we do it together? And I was like, yes, absolutely. So that was that. And to this day. So that's one of the best ways in fitness coaching that you can make sales, referral. Then second for that is video testimonials. So people talking about, you know, the whole process. And then third is before and after pictures, you know, because people want to see results. They want it. You want to build trust, authority, and they want to see what they're getting themselves into. So while social media is obviously where it all begins, essentially, word of mouth absolutely isn't dead.
100%. And people say things like, what's better, video testimonials, or is it before and after pictures? Is it written testimonials? Yeah. Is it an in-person video with the client or the customer or whatever? Yeah. It's like all of them.
Yeah.
They're all the right answer. You need all of it. It's like if you just had before and after and it just spammed your Instagram with before and after, it'd almost look like a spammy, like, low-level fitness page.
Yeah, see.
But you need a bit of both. You need like pictures of yourself. You need pictures of before and after. Maybe you need a couple video testimonials, in-person gym sessions with a client who paid you for your VIP package.
That's what I do. Yeah,
then people watch that. And they're like, oh, if I get the VIP package, I can train with Rob, get videos and pictures with him. That would be good for my own business potentially, blah, blah, blah. It's like, there's lots of ways of showcasing value.
A lot of ways to do it. Now,
let me ask you quickly.
This is fucking fire.
What would you say is your favorite lessons from that 48 Laws of Money video I made, besides the money daily, or just your favorite business lessons in general?
Okay, my favorite one, because we actually spoke about this before the podcast, and I want to say it on the podcast, is the daily money.
Explain that for people.
So what you said, get used to making money daily, seeing that come into your account daily and doing daily. Because if you just see it coming in every week, well, then you kind of forget about it. Yeah. You know, you kind of forget to take action every single day.
Or if it's on the Friday, maybe you're lazy on the Monday and the Tuesday. And you're like, oh, Friday coming again, let me make some sales.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that was my favorite point. And it kind of makes you to not be complacent. And it kind of gets away that whole weekend mentality. Like it makes you, for me, I was like, I watched that and I was like, oh, you know, I haven't made, I haven't made enough sales today.
Yeah.
I was like, I need to do something today. It doesn't matter that it's Saturday. You know, it doesn't matter that I'm 4 hours ahead here. It's time for me to, you know, make some sales. So that, I found that very motivating, and I really like that topic. And so now, what, I haven't even gone into this. What are your main sources of income? How does the money hit your account?
So I have a few things. The number one thing that people probably know me from on social media, because that's the only thing I sell on social media, is my private network, New Money. We just mentioned the door-to-door sales team.
Yeah.
I also have e-com brands and my friend who I live with, Craig. So I met him from New Money. And now he lives with me, right? And we have businesses together. And he also helps like manage New Money as well. So we have that as well. And I also work with some influencers. I'm not going to mention the names here on the camera, because people say, oh, why wouldn't you mention the names? And I say, well, if you knew I was the one behind the whole operation, it might limit, it might reduce the sales.
Yeah, it'd take away from them.
You wouldn't want to pay them, kind of thing. Yeah. So I work with some influencers as well, and I manage their sales teams. I employ people for them. I tell them how to create a product, a good offer, because a lot of influencers, not all influencers are like yourself who have a business mind. A lot of influencers.
Oh, and most don't.
95%.
Yeah.
So most influencers don't know how to monetize their audience. They might have 200,000 followers on Instagram. They might have 500K subscribers on YouTube, but they don't know how to turn that into millions.
Yeah.
And I'm someone myself with, at the time of this recording, 100,000 on Twitter and basically small on every other platform. But I've made a lot of money from social media, and I've also made a lot of good connections, which make me a lot of money. Like I just said, the guy who joined my private network and have the e-com stuff. And I also have a lot of back-end businesses. Yeah. Deals.
Sources of income
with people from my private network, whether it's upsells, whether it's like back-end stuff and just deals, let's just say.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of things, but the top three are New Money, my e-com brands, and the influencer work.
Okay.
Door-to-door sales now, maybe I'd say like number five. Crypto has been big recently as well, but I wouldn't count that as a consistent source of income. But December 2023, I made a lot of money. So just last month, I made a lot of money from crypto.
It went up to like, what was that? I'm investing in Bitcoin. I don't check it much. Yeah, I'll keep it going. But what did it go up to recently? It was like 52 or something?
I don't know if it was 52, but it might have been. But when I told my brother, yo, we should kind of cash this out, is 43.9.
Okay.
And we had a lot at like 20K. So
yeah. AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested, so buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power, so how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs.
OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing. And of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you do want to do more and spend less, like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/gameplan. That's oracle.com/gameplan. Go check it out. You won't be disappointed.
I started investing in Bitcoin at maybe not much, like small bit when it was like 13K.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Funny story, actually. This like guy in the gym, like I was training in a private gym, my friend, and he was training a client. And I got talking to the client. I was like, what do you do? And he's like, oh, I'm into crypto. And at this stage, this is like years ago. I think this was like 2019 or 18. And I was like, oh, that's a scam, man. Come on. He goes, look, I'm not going to say anything. Look, just here's my account. And so he whips out his account on his phone. And it's like
the best social proof.
And it was like 3 million. And I was like, wow. What? And I was like, tell me what to do. And then he goes, all right, you know, how much do you want to put in? I go, oh, let's start with 2 grand. And then I go, will I put in the Bitcoin, whatever, do that? What'll I do? He goes, look, if you want to like make a significant amount, put it into like an altcoin. He goes, I promise you this one is going to go up over the next few months. It was called Swipe, SXP. So I put two grand into that and it went up like 4X, 5X. So I got 10 grand. And then I put that 10 grand into a few other altcoins, but Bitcoin mainly. And then Bitcoin was in the teens at this stage. And then it went up to 69.
Did you cash out 69?
I cashed out at 62.
Wow.
So yeah, nice. I made a good bid and then I left a good bid in. But I like crypto. I like the whole messaging behind it. Because I've had so much problems with banks. That's it. For me, if I was to sell crypto to someone, I'd go, it's money without the banks. It's free. It's free flowing private money, easy to transfer. And, you know, I know there's a lot more to it than that, but if I wanted to summarize it, that's what I would say.
I feel like that's why, you know, a lot of people say, oh, crypto is just like this temporary thing. The reason why I feel like crypto will last is because it's so easy to send.
Yeah.
Like when I was buying my first supercar, my first Lambo, actually.
Hey, yo, that's what I want to talk about.
Yeah, so I remember I was trying to send money from Revolut to this bank in Dubai, whatever. And it was taking days and days. And I was thinking like, all I needed was to wait for this extra 20 grand to be sent because the other 100 something thousand was already sent. I was just like, this last 20K is costing, I want to get my car. I'm eager to drive, so I just said, you know what? Okay, just when it comes in, just let me know and bounce back the money to me. I'm just going to send another 20K. And with crypto, it's just instantly. USDT can take a minute, 10 seconds. Like, it takes no time.
It's wild.
So it's so powerful. You can literally send $1 million like this, half a million like this, and no one asks questions. I buy all these watches I have, instantly, crypto. Boom. I was just in Watch Maestros here in Dubai. We sent like 155K USDT for 2 Daytonas, Platinum Daytona, John Mayer, this one, John Mayer Daytona, 155K USDT, 2 minutes done. We can leave. In England, so many questions, it'll take days.
Oh man, background check pretty much.
Literally, they want to know who you are and it's a nightmare.
And so about new money, right?
Yeah.
I sign up, what happens next?
You've given me money?
Yeah.
Nah, I'm joking. what happens is you sign up, so...
And sorry, wait, it's like... So obviously you use Twitter as your kind of marketing, and I know other ways... You often like reply to your tweet, you know, you'll put like the link to a Telegram. So I go into the Telegram, then what happens? Run me through.
So I have a free Telegram channel, free community, whatever you want to call it. Not community, I'm just the one talking.
Yeah.
But there's like 27,000, 30,000 people in there or something. It's just me basically giving voice notes, me giving business game of just like, what I'll say on this podcast via voice note format, just voice, no video.
And more regular, regular updates.
Yeah, very, very often, multiple times throughout the day. Maybe if I'm going to go do a podcast with you, I might just take a picture like, podcast with Rob. I might say, on the way to lunch and I'm taking a picture of my lap. Just content that I'd post on Twitter, but just the more exclusive behind the scenes stuff, but mainly the voice notes giving value.
Okay.
And then if people resonate with my message, they listen to this podcast, or they listen to the voice notes and they're like, okay, this guy, he has a network, a private network, which is predominantly for people between the ages of 17 and 26, right? So young people, he's 24. That means a lot of people who are between those ages who resonate with his message are like me, because if I resonate with his message, then all the people like me who I'd want to be friends with are going to resonate with his message. They're going to join. And what they get is they get video materials on how to make money. They get accountability coaches that I pay. They get live calls all the time. They get one-on-one access to me. But the main benefit is they get access to like 1,400 people all over the world
that
they can talk with and make money with. And the thing is, people might be like, yeah, but how's that going to help me if I don't know how to make money? Well, it's like, there's always something you can do for other people. There's always some value you can provide. There's people who are YouTube thumbnail designers in the network, and they've made the entry fee back just from selling to other people in the group their YouTube service, their thumbnail service. And it's like, All it takes is you just learning one thing from one of the 1,400 people and you'll make the money back tenfold. Because information is so powerful. If someone tells you how to market in a different way your product, because all businesses are just a product and people buying the product. All businesses is marketing and sales.
Yeah.
If someone helps you with one piece of information that will help you with the marketing or the sales or improving the product or reaching more people, you made the money back like that. And it's just like, one of the main benefits is people moving in together. We had a couple of New Money Boys the other day. Move into Thailand. I mean, I live with one of the New Money Boys. All my friends.
You live with me.
All my friends.
Enjoy.
All my friends, IRL, all of them are in New Money. It's a true story. All of my friends are in New Money. I was just in Pakistan a month ago for my friend's wedding. It was like Christmas Eve. For my friend's wedding in Pakistan, I met him in New Money 2 years ago. He's one of the first people to join the group. My closest friend who I live with, from New Money.
It's like, I can like name betting your friends, like make sure
it's because
successful.
It's almost like if they join my network, then I know they're going to be similar to me. And I know they share the same worldview as me. And it's easy. Like, for example, I've just met you now, but I can imagine we've already had a great conversation.
Yeah.
It's like, we're already going to be cool because we know what we're about. We both know each other kind of just through online, right? Yeah. We know what we stand for. So I say that there's two ways to meet people nowadays. It's like through social media and through online communities, especially if you're someone like yourself with a big audience. You can get away with not having an online community or joining online communities because you're such a big name anyway. And it's just people will reach out to you and you'll have a great network anyway.
Yep.
But if you're someone not with a big personal brand like Rob, the best way 100% is joining an online community, because how else are you going to just get instant access to cool people? And if you join the online community, you know what the people in there are going to be like. Whereas if you meet someone in the gym, that crypto guy you were just referring to, all right, maybe he's kind of cool with crypto, but he's just like an absolute weirdo in every other area of his life. So it's like, you wouldn't want to be friends with him.
Yeah. I like what you said about, you were saying how you'll make a return on it straight away. When I was doing this event in Marbella, Hybrid Entrepreneur Summit. So, you know, I was doing sales in the DMs and, you know, getting people to sign up. And there was a few levels of tickets you could get. One were like 250, but then they went up to like a couple thousand. And so when people were, you know, on the fence about buying the really high one, I was like, you will make that return in one transaction. Like, I was like, all you got to do is over that weekend, make one sale, like meet someone who will, because if a lot of people, whether it's business coaching or, you know, a community or a fitness coach, they'll sell a product usually for over 1,000. And so I was like, all you got to do is make one sale that weekend. And I was like, It's not a big deal.
And the people don't think about this, but this is a huge point. All those people who turned up to that event, if they got a picture with you, that one picture you could argue is worth more than the 2,000 or the 250 for sure. No, it is. Yeah. It is, because obviously it sounds weird to say that about yourself, but it's true. It's like, let's say you want to get into the fitness industry or you want to get into any industry. Yeah. And on your Instagram, you have a few pictures with like guys with clout.
Yeah,
guys
with a following. It provides trust. Yeah.
You're basically just leeching or borrowing off their status almost. You're basically just taking a bit of their status for yourself.
Yeah, that's so true.
It's like if you were best friends with Cristiano Ronaldo, every girl, every guy is going to be like, who the fuck is Rob, right?
Exactly.
Because they're like, who's this guy who's friends with the most famous man in the world?
Yeah.
Friends with Trump.
Get him on the podcast. You know what? That's so funny because something like that happened. Someone got a picture of me and I saw myself in like a sponsored story for like their product. And I was like, yeah, I can't hate on that. I was like, good on them. I can't hate the game.
I saw the other day, I was on Instagram. I saw an ad and I was like, this LASIK eye surgery.
I saw your tweet.
It was like Andrew Tate. And it was like this random looking doctor. Maybe he did get this LASIK eye surgery.
Do you think it's real?
I don't know.
I looked, the cargo pants looked very like his.
I'm saying it's a real picture, but I'm saying, can't someone Photoshop it into the room kind of thing?
Yeah.
Like, if someone's good at Photoshop, can't they just take your image? Like, now you could be sat like this and just copy and paste you and drag you into like the seat of like the surgery room.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know if it's real or not. You'd have to ask Tate yourself. But the point is that got my attention. I was like, oh. So imagine you're a guy and you need your eyes done. I don't know why this ad came up. Maybe it's just because I see Tate's content.
Yeah.
But then it's just like, okay, Tate got his eyes done in this LASIK eye surgery place. I'll book it at this place. Like that one fake photo, maybe it's a real photo, would have made him so much money. So let's say it is a real photo. That is so powerful for his business.
Powerful, man.
So it's like, because a lot of people are almost scared as well of doing free stuff. And we can talk about this point now as well. It's like, people are scared of doing free work for other people. Doing free work is the best thing you can do.
Literally how it started.
Because say that guy, that doctor, the eye surgery, I don't know how eye surgery exactly works, what the process is, how long it takes, whatever. But let's just say that guy, how much is normally eye surgery? A couple grand?
Got to be a couple grand at least. If a hair transplant is a 5K, right. Not that I know, not that I'm looking into it.
let's say it's a couple grand, right? The eye surgery. If he gave that eye surgery to Tate for free, you would have got 100 clients. You'd have got endless clients.
All you
got to
do is make one sale from that reference. And then it's, it's profitable.
It's crazy. So people are scared of doing things for free. Imagine someone's doing your thumbnails for free. They're doing your video editing for free. But then because now you do the video editing and thumbnails for you, you're going to get so many other clients. Because I was just asking you before this, who are your editors?
Yeah.
How much do you pay videographers? And all these things, I'm asking them questions. And then I have a big network. So imagine you have a guy called John. Yeah. And then John does everything for Rob for free. But then now I'm starting to pay John. And then I refer John to my network. Now John might get 10 clients from my network.
Yeah,
so exactly. By doing one work for free for Rob, he now gets 10 clients.
That's what I did. So when I started out, you know, being an online coach, I would just train my friends and family for free. I would just give them free programs to build up testimonials. And everyone's kind of gotten a bit too up themselves recently. They're, I'm not working for free. And it's like, drop your ego.
Why
you doing that? You just started. I think people, maybe they have gotten a little bit too entitled and they're not as hardworking as they used to be. Like back in the old day, people were eager for work. Nowadays, actually, after lockdown, because everyone's on benefits and getting government handouts, I have a friend who owns a restaurant and he literally can't get any staff. He's like advertising really top, like managerial positions, and he can't get staff in London in a really fancy restaurant. And he can't get any staff because everyone's just, this is after COVID, everyone's just getting paid by the government. So people have just gone soft.
Great answer. It doesn't surprise me, actually. It's just entitlement. And I think it is because they see people online, because nowadays you have so much access to people like ourselves who are millionaires doing well. And then you think, I'm going to be a millionaire like them. And of course you can. You can easily be a millionaire, right? No, not easy. It's going to take a lot of work, but you can certainly all become millionaires. It's just a case of, don't think this came easy for us, because I know how many hours I've spent knocking on doors, how many hours I've been on the phone, how many hours I've been doing everything. It's thousands and thousands of hours of total effort.
Yeah.
So it's like, don't think that you don't get any participation trophies in life. Maybe in school you do, maybe your mom gives you one, but not in the real world.
So a quick point that I want to touch on before I forget it. So it's about kind of the Tate photo, if we're thinking it's Photoshop or not. It's so funny. Okay. There's this guy in the fitness industry, V-Shred. I don't know if you've seen him, but he's quite like disliked in the fitness industry. I've never met him. He just does like really tacky marketing and gives out some bad bro science information. But anyways, he ran ads where he's pretend talking on a podcast and he makes the background look like Joe Rogan's podcast. Smart. He faked the studio of Joe Rogan. He's never been on Joe Rogan.
It's smart, but
it's definitely morally bankrupt. So he made it look like he was on Joe Rogan and ran ads. The audacity, like the cheek, is absolutely crazy.
But that is brilliant.
Yeah, I think it's kind of funny.
I think those things.
And if you fall for his content, then maybe it's on you too. Smarten up a little bit.
The thing is, some people might say, yeah, but he'll lose more in the long run for like lying about that. But I could even argue that it's all about how you play things. Like, say, okay, if he says, yo guys, I'm on Joe Rogan,
yeah,
it's one thing.
He doesn't say that,
but it's like, if he just puts the studio, maybe maybe he's inspired.
He just likes the red curtains.
Yeah, maybe he just likes it's very smart. Yeah. Now we're talking about him now. What's his name?
V-Shred. There we go.
I might actually check it out. And I think probably a few other people will. So,
yeah. It's funny.
How big is he? What's his audience?
He's got like a million subscribers on YouTube or something. He's been in the game like a long time. There's a lot of conspiracies about him that he's like a Hollywood actor and he's got like a big team behind him or something. And he's just like the puppet on strings. Probably. It's kind of interesting. I've never met him. I don't even know anyone who's met him. But yeah, terrible at fitness information, but obviously he's doing something right. But so back to building new money. So I really want to, you know, build a course as well. Just something that I would give to myself, something that current Rob would give to 21-year-old Rob starting out. So how did you build new money? Like, what do you do? Do you just set up a camera and start creating content? Like, what's the first step?
So shall I tell you the reason why I actually started new money? The reason why I actually started new money was because I was traveling and I was making all this money from my sales team. And I sat there thinking, I'm going to this country, I'm going to that country, and I'm constantly saying hi to people, goodbye, hi, bye, hi, bye, hi, bye. And I just thought, this is very fleeting, this is all very
transient.
Yeah, just not nice. Yeah. And I was just like, I want to have people who I know are always in that one country. So if I go to Mexico, I know all these people in Mexico, and I know all these people here. And also, I can travel with people. Mm. I might be going to India in a couple of days to meet someone, and I'll bring a couple of my friends from my network. Literally, there's like 50 people or 60 people from my network just in Dubai. There's like 300-400 in England, 300-400 in America. So it's like, I can just bring all these people with me where I want. And because they don't have jobs, a lot of them, they're obviously working online, they have other businesses. then they can afford to just go places.
Yeah, it's hard to find people like that, that don't have time constraints and have money coming in online that they can travel.
100% it is, because I only have one like day one friend. I try not to have a massive circle.
Yeah,
like everyone else kind of just, we drifted apart. But I have one day one friend, but yeah, like he's working a normal 9-to-5 job. He's doing well for himself, actually. He's making a lot of money, but still a normal 9-to-5 job, and he can't just come with me wherever, whenever.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's nice having friends who can just go wherever, whenever. So that's kind of my thought process behind New Money. So initially it was almost like a little travel group.
Okay, nice.
It's just like 50 people for the first maybe like 6, 7, 8 months. It's been running for 2 years now. So for the first 6, 7, 8 months, it was like no one really in it. It was just like a small group. I wasn't trying to promote it too much.
Yeah,
it was like,
yeah,
I'm happy with my 50.
Yeah.
And I was just like meeting up with them in real life and all this stuff. But then after a while, I was just like, okay, some of these people I'm meeting in real life are really smart people, good connections. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to scale this and make this a big thing. So
yeah. And so what's the first thing you do? Do you have to like build out a video course or?
No, the first thing I did was literally just think, okay, I'm just going to make a group chat.
Okay.
That's how it started. Because that was like, in my mind, the most of the value. I was more so, like I said, it's more so about the traveling and meeting up the connections, more so than me just giving people information. Initially, that's how it started. So it was just a group on Telegram at the very, very beginning.
Okay, nice. And so what ways are there, I know you touched on briefly, but there's a few different things to learn about in the group.
Yeah, so it's e-com, sales, there's actually OnlyFans as well.
We got to touch on that.
We're going to talk about that.
Okay, yeah, go
trading, email marketing, copywriting. There's even a fitness group as well.
Yeah. Oh, just get me in there. Get me in. I'll drop some knowledge. So with the OnlyFans management, I presume it is, how does that work? And does that go against your morals a little bit? Like, how do you feel about that?
Yeah. So
preparing.
Yeah. So it's an interesting one. So yeah. I've never done OnlyFans, but I never lie about anything.
Yeah.
I have considered at one point, not myself. I mean like
the management. Yeah.
Yeah. Managing some girls to go on it. I have considered it strongly. When I got kicked out of uni, I was very strongly considering going down that route. And other times in my life as well, I was just like, it seems like the easiest money. But in the end, something always just made me think, this is just not who I am.
Yeah.
But it was tempting, I'm not going to lie. Like if you said to a lot of people, have you ever thought about selling drugs?
Yeah.
Every guy has considered the possibility of selling drugs. I'm not saying you seriously could, but you've considered or thought about the idea. So I'd certainly thought about the idea, but no, I've never done it. Do I think it's bad? Yeah. But then it's like, do I think people doing heroin's bad? Yeah.
Yeah.
If someone stops selling heroin, the heroin addict's still going to buy. Yeah. Like, it's one of those gray lines that I don't like talking about too much because everyone has their own moral viewpoint.
Yeah, of course.
It's like, if your mom was ill and you've got bills to pay, would you do OnlyFans to pay the bills to, let's say, save your mom? Would you do it? Then it's like, I'm sure you'd break that line.
Yeah.
And then it's like, where do you draw that line? Some people say, I'm making this much money from OnlyFans, so I do it because I provide for my family and they don't need the money, but I still look after my family or whatever. Yeah. If you make 100K a month from OnlyFans, like, would you stop it? I don't know. If you make $500,000 a month from OnlyFans, would you stop it? I don't know. So it's like, the answer is, I don't know. I don't know everything.
Yeah, yeah. And you just have the option there, and maybe it's down to the individual to decide.
What do you think?
You know what? So I think OnlyFans is, what do you call it, haram?
Haram. I mean, it is haram.
Yeah, you know, I don't think it's a good thing. I would not want to see my sister or my girlfriend on it, of course.
No.
But I think, and we hate on OnlyFans girls a lot, I think the lads paying for it are worse. I think the lads,
not even a question.
I'm like, you could give that money to your mother. You could start your own business with that 20 quid a month, whatever it is. So I am against it, but people often, I think the anger and hate is misdirected towards the girls. And I don't think it's the girls' fault. I think it's the guys paying for it, you know? So I think that's, fellas, come on. We need to work harder. We need to find some women in real life. Find yourself a good quality girl.
I'd say as well, though, you could even maybe go deeper and think, maybe it's not the guy's fault, maybe it's not the women's fault, because you could make the argument for the average man nowadays, dating has become harder, right? I think a lot of people would agree with that. So for the average guy, it's becoming much, much harder to get that good quality woman.
True.
And for the women, I mean, we can go really deep.
Like, well, we are.
So if you look at inflation, right? Inflation is just, it's destroying the average man.
Yeah.
Well, then it's like in a lot of households, the woman has to work. Not she can if she wants to. Let's say like our girlfriends, if she wants to, maybe she can, right? Cool. But it's like a lot of girls have to work because their man just doesn't make enough. So then it's two incomes pulled together. And then it's like, okay, they don't raise the children get raised by the government, blah, 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 whatever. But it's more so a case of, if you're an average guy and you can't get a girl, and like all these girls are on Instagram, it might be easy to go down that funnel and start following all these girls and go down the funnel of subscribing for $5 a month. Before you know it, I've seen stories on Twitter of guys like giving the whole life savings as that one guy who
My God, yes. Oh, I saw
Ruby
that.
Ruby Rose.
That was the one. Did you see the state of that guy? Like, he looked like a crazy person.
He looked like
person.
What you think.
He looked exactly what you think. That's a mad story. And what's dating like here in Dubai?
So
Pretty crazy, I'd imagine.
Yeah, people ask me that all the time. I'm in a relationship right now, so I'm not actively messaging other people and all these things. But yeah, I mean, it's not as good as other countries, I'd say, because a lot of people here are just... It's like what I was saying before about going into a country, hi, goodbye. Like a lot of people come into Dubai for a week, 2 weeks, a month like yourself. They don't stay here. So there's a lot of tourists, not a lot of people who just full on live
That's
here.
So true. And people literally have to leave for summer because it gets too hot. You know what a lot of people do. So it's literally like limited time here.
And also it's like there's a lot of paid escorts and...
Bro.
A lot. So I remember first time I came to Dubai, I was in like the Four Seasons Hotel with my friends. And I was just like looking around, I was like, whoa, like people said Dubai doesn't really have many girls. And I was like, there's loads of hot girls. Then it dawned on me, I was like, wait, they're all...
Bro, the exact same thing happened to me. So I was in One Oak. This was in 2019. Okay. And so I was in, you know, a dance floor, club tables, everywhere. And I was walking around, all these beautiful women everywhere. And I'm like, they're so friendly. Yeah. I was like, oh, whoa, guys, this is the best. You know, we're having a good time. And then just the conversation, they're like, you know, how much you pay me? Or whatever, just it dawns on you. And it's kind of a harrowing feeling. You're like, oh God, everyone here's a brass. It's a crazy place. It's got to be like the prostitute capital of the world. It's kind of more of like a way of living, you know, for some, it's like accepted here almost.
Yeah.
So what's it like having a girlfriend here?
I mean, it's the same as I guess in any other country. I don't know. It's almost like it's people ask me that. It's like if you look for anything in life, you'll find it kind of thing. So it's like, if you look for brasses and you look for escorts, I'm sure you'll find loads, but it's now I don't even notice them too much because I don't actually go out that often and I don't go clubbing that often.
Oh, interesting.
So I don't know, but like when I first came and I was going out a bit more, I noticed it more.
Yeah.
Like, but like I said, when I was in that place, I was like, whoa, there's just so many girls around. Then I realized they're all brasses, but no, it's fine having a girlfriend. It's the same as, I mean, what do you mean by that question? I'm trying to
just like, is there any distractions and, you know, nights out and like, do you ever like up miss the single life?
To like,
yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. Yeah.
I'd say the same as every other country.
Yeah.
Not really.
In Dublin, there's definitely not. You're like, I'm sitting in on the couch all day.
No, if anything, I'll actually say if anything, it's the other way around.
Yeah.
If anything, because there's loads of hot girls. But like I said, dating in Dubai is probably harder or there's less distractions because there's so little normal girls compared to a place like...
True.
If I was in Nottingham, England right now, where I used to go a lot because it was next to Loughborough University, every 3 seconds there's some hot girl who's my age who I'd want to talk to. Every three, like,
especially in
Nottingham's full of hot girls.
Yeah.
England, France, Spain, these countries in Europe, there's way more distractions. In Dubai, I'd say, in terms of like not wanting to cheat on your girlfriend, which is a crazy statement, but it's the city in the world that's probably the least tempting.
Okay.
I'd say it's the other way around.
Yeah, that's funny. So it's kind of similar in Marbella. I obviously used to go there since I was 14, and I'd go there and I'd party loads. And
what's Marbella's dating like?
It would be very similar. You go to some places and you can just see there's a lot of girls. You can just tell if your girl's a prostitute looking straight at her. But there's also a lot of people that are really just into the gym, health and fitness and living a healthy life there.
That gym paddle.
Oh man, I have 5 gym memberships in Marbella. They're all insane. Like they're so good. They're all like, you know, they're all like paddle, outdoor and everything. And so when I used to go to Marbella as a teenager, I would just go there and kind of treat it like Magaluf. I would just be drinking every day, partying. And I was like, oh, Marbella is only a party place. Yep. But when I've grown up and matured a little bit, I've gone back there and, you know, I've gone like 4 or 5 months without drinking in Marbella, you know, prepping for a bodybuilding show, just really living my healthiest life. So just like what you said, you can just find whatever you're looking for.
Completely.
Yeah.
Especially a big city. Like I call them big boy cities. I've made this tweet a few times. You might have seen that. Like I say, if you live in somewhere like Michigan or Newcastle or Sunderland in England or Fulham or like these kind of places, that not much is going on. You know, you live in Marseille, France, or whatever, some small town or whatever. It's like, try and move to, if you want to really make the most of your potential, achieve your potential, I feel like you should come to a big boy city.
Yeah.
A place like Dubai, Miami, LA, Milan, Paris, Vegas. You just are going to meet more people like yourself, more big players, and it's just going to make you more competitive. And yeah, there are hotter girls there because all the best talent in the world get attracted to the big boy cities, whether it's ambitious dudes or the prettiest women. Like obviously in Dubai, there's some of the prettiest women in the world. Same as Vegas, same as Milan.
Yeah.
But naturally also a lot of times with the prettiest women, it comes with the brasses, the escorts. They want the most money. They want the most gifts. Maybe that might not be the most wholesome women who you want as like a wife or a girlfriend. So it depends on what you're looking for. It depends what stage you're at in life. Like a lot of guys, like they say, oh, Dubai just got full of like hoes, like just girls who are just looking for just fun. Well, it's like, if you're on the stage of your life where you just want fun, then go that's the best thing ever. So it's kind of like just what you want, man. Yeah, you always find what you look for.
If you go to a big city like, you know, London or Dubai, whatever, you're forced to level up, especially as a man. Like if you don't, you just can't stay there. You just can't do it. You know, you can't afford the way of life. You can't network with the right people. So, you know, if you're from a small town, one of the most beneficial things you can do if you want to level up as a person is just go to one of the hubs of the world.
I'll just say as well, talking about the point about having a girlfriend, I feel like if you're just the average guy, if I right now had like average money, average everything, I'd be very insecure in a place like Dubai with my girlfriend, because I'd be like, every guy we see, or a lot of guys we see, because if you're average, half the guys are better than you, half the guys are, let's say, lower level. You'd think almost like you're just not enough. But I never really have, I don't have that problem ever. Even if I see someone with a Bugatti, even if I see someone with a jet, I'm not going to be like, oh, this guy's a jet, I need a Bugatti and I don't. Because I'm 24 and I know I'm on that way anyway. And I know myself. Like, obviously, there'll always be someone richer. If I saw Elon Musk, I'm not going to be insecure.
No.
I'm going to be inspired.
Yeah.
But I always say it's like, that's only because there's a few people better than me. But if it's like this many people better than me, I'll be like, okay, it's time to panic and time to worry. And I always just look at life as in like, imagine it's like one big ladder in society and you've got all the men ranked in order, right? Based on everything, not just money, but just everything combined, highest status, highest whatever. Just every day I try to climb up a couple spots. And it's like, I know every day I am climbing up a couple spots. So that keeps me sleeping easy at night. Whereas if I feel like I was going down the ladder or on the same point and other people who were here now are here, I'll be like, fuck, how have they just gone ahead of me? Like, what am I doing?
So you're 24, which is so young. Like, you really started on this journey early. Like, to put it into context.
Can I just say, sorry.
Yeah, go on.
Guys, Rob has really prepared this podcast and planned it so well. So it's like, I'm not even asking him too many questions because I feel like this could be 5 hours, this podcast.
Oh, yeah. No, Corey, I like to, you know, let the guests talk and everything. No, thank you. Okay. I really appreciate that. I like to be a good host. But so you're 24. Yeah. I only started uploading my first YouTube video at 22.
Interesting.
So I think I made my first million. I was about 27, maybe. Nice. So, you know, you're so ahead of the game. You're 24. You've got 3 years on me from that point.
Yeah.
Does it ever feel surreal to you? And do you understand how rare it is to be in your position at 24? Like buying supercars, watches, everything, like compared to not even the average, compared to 90% of 24-year-olds.
I always try to be as honest as possible when I'm doing this podcast. I really... Like just quickly before I answer this question, one of my main sales philosophies, and it came from door-to-door sales, was buy or die. So it's like, I'm very much like, someone's going to buy something from me or they're almost like dead to me. Because in door-to-door sales, you learn this. It's very much like, you can't retarget them with ads. You can't message them again on Instagram or email or whatever. You can't cold call them again. It's like, if you don't sell to that person on the door there and then, you lose the sale. So my personality is very much like, I'm an aggressive person, not passive aggressive. I just say it how it is. So I always try to keep it honest. And I'll say, to answer that question, I always knew I was going to be successful. I'm not one of these guys who are like, oh my God, I can't believe this happened. Like,
yeah, that fake humbleness.
Yeah, I'm not that guy. Yeah. Like, I say it exactly how it is. Like, I always knew I'd be successful. What I will say is I achieved success I got to this point earlier than I thought. And the reason why is because when I was at uni, I didn't think suddenly I'm going to be kicked out of uni and now I'm going to be forced to go down this business journey. I didn't think that. I thought maybe I'll be at this point at maybe 30, you know? So I didn't know it'd be this quick, but I always knew I'd be at this point. And does it feel crazy? If I sit and really think about it, it is absolutely insane, like at the level I'm at now, if I say so myself. But it feels less crazy because I'm talking to people like you who are also doing well.
Yeah.
I'm talking to my friends who are also doing well. But if I was to go back to Nottingham and I see these normal girls in university and I'm going to their dorm room and I'm going, seeing like my normal friends from England, and because I'm into England in a year and a half.
Yeah.
And I made a lot of progress in the last couple of years. And then it would really hit me if I was like driving the same car and the same roads and talking to the same people. And like a year and a half ago when I was in England, I was already a millionaire at that point. And I was just starting to feel like, like every time I had a conversation with a friend, that's what really made me feel like, whoa, I've come far.
Yeah.
It's like that nostalgic feeling of like I used to talk to this person loads and then now I'm in this position. It's just insane. It's just crazy. So doesn't feel crazy in Dubai, I'll be honest.
Yeah,
doesn't feel that crazy.
It becomes the norm when you're surrounded by winners.
Because I live on a palm. I live on a private beach and my neighbors have a private
what
beach.
What a sentence.
Yeah, so I have a private beach and my neighbors have a private beach, obviously. Yeah. And the people opposite the beach, they also live on a private beach. It's the same. So everyone around me lives on a private beach because I live on a private beach.
So you're like, this is normal.
For sure. You become acclimatized, right? And it's like, 2 minutes drive, there's like all these five-star hotels in Dubai on the Palm. It's like the Raffles Hotel, the Kabinski, all these nice hotels. The Atlantis Royal, have you seen that?
Yeah, sick.
So it's like, it's very hard to think, whoa, when you're literally surrounded by billion-dollar buildings, like the Atlantis Royal. So I don't know if that answered your question.
No, it did. It did. So it's good that it's like your new norm, but when you really have to think deep about it, then it does
feel surreal. If I was to go back to England, it'd be like, whoa.
Yeah. Did you go back for Christmas?
No, I don't celebrate Christmas. We have, our family is like Muslim, so my mum, she doesn't celebrate Christmas, so no, I didn't. But my mum comes to Dubai. Obviously, I've seen my mum. I see my mum, but she comes to Dubai. But
yeah, are you like a religious person? Like, you know,
I wouldn't say I'm a religious person. I believe in God. I am. I still would say I'm a Muslim for sure, but I'm not the best Muslim in the sense of I don't pray five times a day.
Yeah.
Will I fast this year? There's a very good chance that we'll fast,
For Ramadan, yeah?
Yeah, there's a good chance I'll fast. Yeah. But I don't pray five times a day. Sometimes I swear, sometimes I, you know, I'm still
it's
like...
kind of a modern day process.
Yeah, it's probably the only thing in my life where I'm almost like conflicted on, in the sense of my mindset in life is very much like, if you want to make money, then you work hard and make money.
Exactly.
Because like, if you're religious and if you believe in God, then why wouldn't you follow?
Exactly.
So it's kind of like, that's the only area of my life where I feel almost a bit conflicted. You know, a lot of people say, oh, I'm spiritual and I don't like giving that answer. So I don't like talking about it too much because I don't know.
It's a private thing as well, you
not
know.
Not even that. It's more so just I don't know what to say.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, so like, you're still figuring out.
What
so
about
actually,
you on that
so
question?
That actually, now that you mention that, when I was like your age, 24, I actually was agnostic. So I didn't believe in God, but I was open to the idea of a higher power. And only in recent years, I actually started believing in God again and started praying pretty much every day and going to church the odd time. Yeah, I was actually raised very Catholic. Ireland is a very, very religious country, you know, we're like, Jesus, go to mass every day, you know, pray to God. And I was raised very Catholic. I went to church every Sunday for like, you know, the first 18 years of my life.
Wow.
And then I kind of, you know, again, I stopped practicing it and I kind of stopped. I was like, oh, this is stupid. And then just in recent years, I kind of watched actually some content on it on YouTube that made me change my mind and go back to believing in God. And, you know, now I do. And I find that
happier.
I find happier, calmer, and that praying to God is a better form of meditation for me. It's just meditation. Well, it's just meditation. You just like, you know, you just practice, you're grateful, you say thank you, and you just have a little think to yourself at the end of the day. So it's like, it's not even like this big thing. It's just like something I've gone back to, and that I think the world is... sounds crazy, but it's all just too perfect for there not to be a higher power.
That's
what I think.
Yeah,
you know?
I've always believed in God. It was more so just a case of like, I naturally was just maybe not as strict with like what you should be doing, as in like always fasting, like, you know, praying five times a day and all the, like, I was just not as good with those things. But I've always believed in God, because even just how a man and a woman have sex and it creates a baby.
That's crazy.
Like that's
fucking
insane.
Crazy.
Like and then it's like how the sun rises all the time. The sun sets
at the exact same time and rotates. It's just the science can't explain it.
It's anyone who just thinks like it's just a big bang. It's like, unexplainable.
Yeah, it's unexplainable.
It's just not possible.
Look at us getting all deep.
But there's also this crazy thing. This is like, not to do with the God point, but it's just it kind of just inspired this point now. There's a theory, and I put this in the 48 Laws of Money, called the Monkey Infinite Theorem. Did you see that point?
No, okay. Well, I did, but I didn't.
Right. I was just saying, you got me questioning, was that even in the ebook? Was that even in the thing? There's something called the Monkey Infinite Theorem, where basically it just means that if you give a monkey, not a human, an actual monkey, a keyboard, he would type any sentence and any essay and any scripture in human history if you gave him an infinite number of years. So he would type after a certain number of years, my name is Rob Lipser and I am writing this book to explain to you guys how to put on muscle and lose fat, blah, blah, blah. My name is Hassan, blah, blah. You write that exact same sentence over an infinite number. It sounds like, no, he would. It's a monk.
No, it would.
Over
an
infinite. You can't comprehend.
Yeah, you can't, because you can't not, like, because you'll do every combination.
Over an infinite number of years. Even if he types in the same sentence, I am a monkey, 100 times in a row. Eventually, because it's an infinite.
There,
so it's very
go.
Interesting. It just show, and it kind of leads on to another point, which is like, if you do things quick enough, you're going to get through almost like an infinite number of combinations to a degree. So it's like, if you keep trying new businesses, eventually one will stick and one's going to work. So it's almost like you tried an infinite number of businesses. Obviously, you can't do an infinite, but it's kind of like that theory.
Elon Musk has a great one, and it's like, I think I'll butcher this, but I'll get it right. So if you want to just speed up your work rate, instead of saying, just reduce the amount of hours that you tell yourself you're going to get it done. So instead of being like, oh, I've got all weekend to do this, be like, I've literally got 2 hours. How much can I get done? And you'll probably get it done in those 2 hours. It's a great way to speed things up. And you just mentioned it briefly there about starting a business. What is your advice to someone who wants to start a business, but they can't figure out what it is? Can't figure out what to do.
Yeah. So I'm not one of these guys online who sits there and says, buy my sales course. I think sales are the best business model. OnlyFans, agencies, fitness training, blah, blah, blah. They're all bad. I'm superior with my business model. No. And that's why I feel confident selling a network in selling my network, because it's like, I'm saying networking is always going to be valuable, which it is.
Yeah.
But like, you know, there's a lot of people online say, I have a trading course. That means trading is the best business model. It's like, the reason why I don't agree with that is because there's no such thing as the best business model. There's no one size fits all answer A. And B, it's like every business will work if you actually put the work in. So what I would say to that question is, have a 9-to-5 job, have money coming in. Now, there's different levels of jobs. It's not just a 9-to-5 job. You could do a door-to-door sales job like me, where you're learning very valuable skill sales, you're becoming more confident, you're learning how to persuade and influence, and you're getting paid on commission. So it teaches you how the real world works, in the sense of, if you don't hunt, you don't eat.
Yeah.
Right? If you don't kill your prey, you don't eat. That kind of logic.
I like
it's
that.
Like, no participation trophies. You have to win. You have to be a winner. So that's very good for your mindset and teaching you how the world works. So have some kind of job, whether it's Uber and a sales job, whether it's a 9-to-5 job, have some income coming in. Ideally, though, what you don't want is you don't want a job that doesn't teach you any skills and is very time focused. If you're gonna have a job that doesn't teach you skills, like for example, I used to sometimes go to the gym at like 1 a.m. when I was like on the hustle and in the grind stages. And there was like a security guard who'd open the gate. And like, he was just sat there. I was the only guy who'd go in at that time. He'd just be watching videos. I used to see in his like little security booth kind of thing. He's just watching videos.
Yeah.
Like, that's a very good job to have, because you're getting paid. And you could be watching Rob Lipsett's podcast. Yeah. And you could be learning.
Learning, yeah. I remember when I was working, I had a 9-to-6 job. Like, there were my hours. It was in an office job. It was in a startup. And I was stuck at a desk for just, you know, 9 hours a day, pretty much. And there was a stage before I quit. There was a stage where I was like doing online training plans for people. And while I was there, my boss would always catch me and be like, what the fuck are you doing? But I remember like just that transitionary period where I was trying to make my fitness coaching work on the side work, but I'm still in this 9-to-5. And it's like, sometimes you got to just go through these periods of working double, working overtime until your side gig takes over the main gig.
Completely.
So, I mean, you have a little security box job. That's fucking easy.
I didn't, but I'm saying the guy I saw.
Yeah,
100%. And the reason why that was so good is because he could have been grinding. Now, statistically speaking, he was probably just watching random YouTube videos, wasting his time.
Statistically, absolutely.
But that would be a perfect job to have, because no one's bothering you. You have no boss. And that's exactly what I liked about door-to-door sales job. I effectively didn't have a boss. I felt like my own boss, because I could wake up when I want. I could sleep when I want. I could not even go to work if I wanted. There was no contract. Like, you have to go into work this many hours. I could completely not work any hours if I wanted to. I could work 5 hours because I'm getting paid on commission. The manager, the boss, whatever, he's paying me on commission. So if I don't work, all right, that's no problem. You're not getting any money.
Yeah.
And it's like, I know I need to knock.
That's the motivation, you know?
So it's very, very good. So I'd say do one of them kind of jobs. Don't do a normal 9-to-5 job where you have to still be very focused. You don't want to be a waiter. That's like the worst job, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's the toughest job as well. Do you know what I hate? When people are rude to the waiter.
Oh, that's
like, that's the worst. Because that is like, that's one, honestly, it's not like you're drilling holes on a construction site, but it's one of the most like, toughest, most kind of frustrating jobs you can get. Like, again, you're on your feet all day. And people, if someone's rude to you, I'm just like, oh, man.
Because what people do is they like talk down on the waiter almost like they're like an inferior person. It's just like everyone's just at a different stage of their life. And maybe at that point in their life, they need that to pay up. Whatever. It's another topic. But I was just going to say, like, you don't want to necessarily be a waiter because you haven't got the time to just sneak on your phone and like watching his podcast and doing something else, or maybe like messaging some staff or employees or your business partner, like, yo, we need to do this, we need to do that, and like kind of form things. So anyway, get a 9-to-5 job. That's lesson one. Number two would be like, cut out like the biggest distractions. Let's say you're addicted to PlayStation Now. Literally, don't even sell it on eBay. What I would say is just smash it on the floor. Because if you're the kind of guys that like, I'll put it on eBay, no one's buying it. It's been 3 weeks. All right, maybe we shouldn't sell it. And we just keep it. Just deal with the problem ASAP. Give it to someone, give it to your neighbor, smash it on the floor, make a YouTube video out of it.
Yeah.
Do something. Just get rid of it instantly.
Yeah, do give away with it. You know, say, hey, sign up to my program. I'm going to pick for next 10 people to sign up. I'll put you into raffle.
Give it to your, a friend, or give it to some kid in the neighborhood as a gift, whatever.
Yeah, that'd be
something.
Nice.
Right? Get rid of the biggest distractions like PlayStation. Don't drink, don't do drugs, cut out all those big distractions. Number two, most people can stick to that quite easily because they're like, what I have to do is cut out drinking and drugs and I'll be a millionaire, I'll do it. Okay, do that. And then number three will be choose something, whether it's becoming the best short form content dude, whether it's the best at copywriting, whether it's building your own personal brand, whether it's becoming a YouTuber, whether it's having your own kind of agency where you do thumbnails for people, whether you do Photoshop, whether you set up podcast studios, whatever you do, literally there's unlimited things, whether you become a personal trainer, whether you have your own clothing brand, whether you do e-com, whether you have your own sales team, whatever
it is. Infinite. There's so much opportunity in the world.
1,000 things, yeah. Right? They say there's a million ways to make $1 million, right? So it's nice. Like, choose one of those things. Now, this is the hard part. It's like, just go to your 9-to-5 job or go to that kind of job we were talking about, the sales job. It could be 12 to 6, whatever. Do that job. You cut out all the distractions. So you sleep 8 hours, you go your job 8 hours. You got 16 hours done, 8 hours left. 3 hours, maybe gym, food, toilet, being a normal human, seeing your girlfriend, talking to your family quickly. Maybe even 3.5, right? Yeah. You've got 5 hours left in the day to focus on that short form thing, copywriting. Let's just say we're going to talk about short form content. You want to edit videos for people like Rob and you want to make short form content. You want to cut them up because you know, if you can get them more traffic and more views, and if you're actually good, I promise you on everything I know, he will give you money. You can affiliate. There is a way you can make money, including for myself. If you say, Hassan, I'm getting you all these views, you're going to get money. Guaranteed. There's 100%. No ifs and buts. We all want more views because then it's just more sales, more notoriety, more influence, more connections. There's unlimited benefit, right? So yeah. Anyway, let's say you choose short form content as your thing. You're doing your job. You're going to work that job anyway, because if you don't do this, what I'm saying, you're going to be working that job for the rest of your life anyway. So just accept you're working that job for the next 6 months. Don't quit it too early. You have cash flow coming in. Then you can afford to travel and meet people. You can afford to come to Dubai. You can rent our podcast studio. You can live in a nice place. Whatever. You can move out your parents' house, because people say, why is moving out your parents' house important? Well, it's like, it's important because your parents might take 2 hours of your day every day arguing with you. So then it's like, now you just bought back 2 hours by paying the extra $30, $40, $50 a day on rent. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. So it's like,
that was one of the most important things I did actually. As soon as I could move out, or if I was in this weird shared accommodation place, but as soon as I could get my own place, that was like when I just had so much more focus and timed myself back. So some people say like, oh, live at home, save. No, I don't believe in that personally.
And you're always going to be like a boy.
Yeah, you're always going to be a little boy. Like, how you meant to, you know, bring a girl back?
That's what I mean. You're just seen as a kid. And yeah, that's why girls don't find it attractive. Yeah. You'd like a kid.
You're a little boy, yeah.
So I'd say move out your parents' house as well. That's why it's important to have that income coming in.
Yeah.
Right? Then what you do is you spend your 5 hours every night working on that short form content. Now, there's something called the 100-hour rule, where if you put in 100 hours into anything, literally anything, you will be in the top 5% at that thing. You'll be better than 95% of people. And it's true, I believe it.
Yeah.
You play violin for 100 hours, you'll be better than 95% of people at violin. That's definitely true.
Yeah, that is true. And Joe, what they say, actually, here's another crazy fact, how to get into the top, I think it's top 5% of podcasts, upload more than 20 episodes. That's so easy.
20 like, podcasts, about 5 hours of podcast maybe because of the filming and the production and the editing.
Yeah, easy.
My point proven, right?
Good maths.
So
that's actually perfect. Perfect example.
There's no, it's just like an actual science thing. 100 hours. Because they say it's 100 hours to be in the top 5%. But if you want to be a master, which is like the 0.0, then it's 10,000 hours. It's 100 times more.
Okay, so big difference, right?
It's like a common thing. My dad used to tell me that all the time, talking about the mindset my dad gave me. The number one thing he always taught me is, because he was a doctor. He was like a master at, he was a heart doctor, cardiologist.
Fuck.
So he's like putting pacemakers into people, all that stuff. So he put in way more than 10,000 hours into a doctor. So he knew that it was always just about mastery. It's just you have to put in hours and hours and hours. Anyway, 5 hours a day on the short form content. Within 20 days, that's 100 hours. You're already in the top 5% within 20 days.
That's so fucking insane.
You carry on doing that. Within 6 months, 180 days times five, that's 900 hours. That's basically 1,000 hours. If you've put 1,000 hours in the short form content or any skill, copywriting, building your own personal brand, podcast, wouldn't you argue, or wouldn't you agree that after 1,000 hours, you're probably going to be in the top 1% of it? And not only the top 1%, if you're in the top 1%, you're going to start making a few grand a month from that one thing.
Yeah.
You're going to get a couple clients because now you put 1,000 hours in the short form. Now I outreach to you. Now I'm ready to start outreaching for Rob.
And it gets easier and easier.
If I show you my videos that I can produce for you after 1,000 hours of mastering my craft, you're going to sign me as a client because I'm going to do it for free. I'm going to be humble.
There you go.
I'm not a dickhead.
Yeah.
I'm humble. I'm going to reach out to you. I'm going to reach out to three other people, your friends. I'm going to reach out to all of you for 100 days in a row. One of my YouTube editors is now, one of my short form guys, he outreached to me 100 days in a row. He's from my network. Because I only work with people from my network. That's my one of my
rules. Yeah.
Anyway, after 6 months only, you now are in the top 1% at a skill set and you're going to start getting clients. And then maybe you only make 2.5K a month. You're only making 2.5K a month from your job. You take the job, you replace it, you put it in the bin, and now you go all in. Instead of 5 hours, you put 10 hours into the short form. And then in the next 6 months, now it's not 1,000 hours you put in, you've put 2,000 hours. Now, within a year, you've put 3,000 hours in. I guarantee fucking you, you'll all make 10K a month if you put 3,000 hours into anything. Done. That's the actual solution. But the reason why no one tells you that online is because it's much easier to say, buy my course.
Yes.
Like it's, but I don't say that. It's like I just give people value and say, if you want to join my network, good. If not, like, it's
get
like,
lost.
Like, yeah, I don't care.
That's That's some fucking knowledge right there.
It's the truth, man. Yeah. It's the truth. That you have, you're like a master at your fitness stuff.
Yeah.
You're in great shape.
Oh, man. So I've been doing it for 10 years. Like, I am so confident in my abilities. And that's actually, we'll touch on this a little bit, but in terms of like building up a true business, building up trust and authority, you know, the longer, the more hours you put in, simply the better it's going to go. It's just, it's a volume game.
You can't cheat like how you look. So it's like, people might know as much as you because maybe they've just, they try to appear like they do, even if they
don't.
But then it's just like, but you don't look like you. So then it's like, you can't sell like you.
Yeah.
There's no shortcuts.
There's no shortcuts.
You're 32 and you said you were doing it. You probably didn't start training since you were 17.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yes, it's coming up to like 14 years. It's absolutely crazy. And so I want to talk about money and mindset. There's two things. This changed my life on how I viewed money. I'd be very interested to hear how you view it as well. Okay. There's two ways that I looked at making money in business. And it's scarcity versus abundance. And it actually goes back to caveman days. So basically, and this actually works with women as well. If you want to get chicks, you come from a place of abundance. So abundance means I've too much going on. I've got too much money, too much resources, too much everything. And it comes back to caveman. If there's a cave woman and she sees a broke ass caveman and he's like starving to death in his cave and he can't light a fire and he's like, oh, help. And then she looks at the other caveman who's got like this blazing fire going. He's like roasting up a fucking woolly mammoth. He's got like a sick cave. She's like, oh, I have more chance of surviving if I go with the jacked Chad caveman. So that is biologically rooted in us that people are attracted to abundance. And so if you have this scarcity mindset, people will not want to work with you. They don't want to pay you. Women will not want to sleep with you or date with you. So in life, the most important mindset you have in everything is coming from a place of abundance and, you know, and saying, I have got plenty, that there's so much jobs out there. There's so much ways to make money. The million ways to make a million. You need to believe that. You need to tell yourself that. And you need to understand that because it's true.
It's true.
And that's the way, that's the biggest mindset shift that I learned when it comes to making money. How do you view money? What's your mindset around it?
Yes, that's great. I like that a lot. Yeah, that's great.
It's a dope one.
There's so many things I can say. Like,
hit us up.
It's such a good podcast so far. Basically, it's just like, I mean, there's two things. So I do think there is a million ways to make $1 million. And I do think there's so much money out there. 100%. That is a fact. The thing is, when I was younger, I used to, let's say, listen to people like yourself, or I used to watch these kind of videos. I used to be like, well, yeah, but you're just saying that, bro. Like, you don't really, no, like, put me on a live to test. We'll both do it for a video, maybe.
Yeah.
We really believe there is a million ways to make $1 million, and we really believe anyone can make it. But I do also believe it is very competitive, and in some industries, it is a zero-sum game. So, for example, like, you're one of the best, like, or most known fitness dudes.
Yeah.
That means you've outcompeted lots of other fitness dudes. That is certainty. Like, all the people you've ever sold to in your life. You sold clothing?
Yes, I did at the start, yeah.
Clothing, I think. I'm sure you've done every fitness thing.
Everything.
Yeah. Everything. Literally referrals, fitness, brand deals, products, your own program, low ticket, high ticket, everything, right? At some point, the people who've bought that program or bought that clothes, whatever, they could have bought from someone else. Let's just say this other guy here called John.
Yeah.
They could have bought from John, but they bought from you. You put John out of business. You took John's customers. You starved him because you ate. That's how it works in business. So it's like, there is a million ways to make money. Yeah, you have to come from a point of abundance. But at the same time, and I believe in this point a lot in life, you have to have two opposing thoughts at times.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm a Mr. Abundant. I believe in everything. There's a million women. There's billions of women. There's billions of dollars, but trillions, zillions. But at the same time, I have to work much harder than everyone to compete for the money and the women and everything, because it is still limited in how much there is.
Sure.
There is only a limited number of people in the fitness industry making millions.
Yeah.
There is only a limited number of people in the music industry who are making money like Little Baby.
Starving artists, you know, there are plenty.
99.9% of people in the fitness industry and music and model industry, they're all broke.
Yes.
There's people like yourself doing well. You have to outcompete people. So yeah, it's abundant. Yeah, anyone can make it, but certainly not everyone can make it. So that's kind of that.
We've got two viewpoints there for people to have a think on. I like
that. Yeah, so you have to just kind of keep both in the back of your mind. It's like, I believe this, I can get anything, which is true. But if I want to get anything, I have to understand I have to outcompete the 99.9% of people who also want everything, but I'm going to be better than them by working harder. You have to have both of them. So that's kind of my mindset. Did I answer your question?
No, that was perfect. Yeah, yeah,
you did. Because about the scarcity point, like maybe you want, like if the question is almost like, have I ever been scarce in my thinking? No, not really.
Yeah.
But I think as I've got older, I've realized like it also is competitive. So you have to work hard, because what people will say is, all right, bro, I think I want to do everything. I want to be like you. But then it's like, but like, I don't want to like sacrifice this. And I want to just work 2-3 hours a day. Is that okay? And it's like, I don't know what you'll say, but I'm going to say, no, it's not okay at the beginning. Maybe, like, at this level, I'm sure I could work 2-3 hours and still make millions, but it's just, like, not to get here.
Yeah. No, no, I like that. That's the perfect answer. And so, you've got the house on the palm. How many supercars do you have?
6 at the moment.
Okay. Yeah. That's fucking...
It's going to be 8, but then... I can extend the story later, maybe.
Quick one on that. So, my question is, what is the most valuable thing you own, financially and also sentimentally? But first, run us through the 6 supercars.
Okay, cool. Nice question.
Yeah.
So... 6 supercars, I'll explain them in the order. I bought Lambo Huracan first, then I bought Ferrari 488 Spider, then I bought Porsche GT3 RS WiseTech Edition, then I bought Lamborghini Urus, then the McLaren 720S, then the Ferrari 8-door Superfast.
What's your favorite one?
The answer changes nearly every day, depending on which car I'm in. But the car I drive the most is the Lambo Urus because it has 4 seats.
Yeah,
and I can just put more people easiest. In it. That's your, all the other ones are 2 seats, but it's not my favorite. The one that gets the most attention might be the Huracan because my Huracan's particularly loud. It's probably the loudest Lambo in Dubai, I think.
Yeah.
It's ridiculously loud. I don't know, bro. I don't know. Buy all of them, I'd say to people. Buy all of them. I don't think there's an answer. Again, abundant mindset.
There you go.
You don't want to be in a position like where you have to choose a supercar.
Yeah.
It's like there's nearly one for every day of the week. So, life depends on it and I can only choose or keep one.
Yeah.
Maybe the Lambo Huracan because overall it's just the best. The sound, the grip, the handling, everything. The Porsche is amazing at driving, but it's uncomfortable. Girls don't like it. And also it just, people don't give you that attention.
When yeah.
I like
turn
that
heads.
Like, look on the
you
streets.
You want to turn heads, yeah. And so do you actually, so what's the most, financially speaking, what's the most valuable thing you
have? I bought some property.
Okay. But interesting.
Yeah, right. I don't talk about it much online.
Yeah, also, I didn't know that. I actually
Because
didn't.
Like, let's just say, I'm not going to mention how much it is, but let's just say, I'm going to make up a number. Let's say I have a property that's $1.2 million. Yeah. Let's say. I'm not, a $1.2 million property, like if I stand from the outside of it, especially if it's in a nice location or an apartment, whatever, let's say, I take a picture of it like that. It's not as interesting
striking.
As like a supercar.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of why I don't flex it. And also there's a couple other reasons we were kind of mentioning.
Keep it in.
But yeah.
Probably
a property. Cars are definitely not the most expensive thing I have, but I have a lot. I have lots of watches as well. I have like 20 watches. I have... Quick, should I name them?
Yeah.
I got like Steel Patek 5711, Gold Patek 5712. I bought 4 watches in a week, like a couple weeks ago. I bought this John Mayer Daytona and a Platinum Daytona, 155K USDT. And then I bought a Steel Patek and I bought a chocolate Daytona. So I bought 3 Daytonas in 24 hours.
That's wild. Is that their YouTube video that?
There's a YouTube video of me buying this one on the Platinum for 155K. It's got like 5K views.
Imagine.
The editing is just
the hidden gem. What you should do is you should do a YouTube video where you talk about, you know, just title it buying 3 Rolexes in 24 hours and even just put footage and you can just sit there and talk about the experience of doing it. That's a good
video
idea.
I'm taking YouTube more seriously as we speak now. So these things are all in the works, but yeah, I appreciate the advice for sure. Yep. I need to do that, yeah.
And sentimentally, what's your most valuable possession? It can even be like a memory or anything, a holiday. Yeah, like something that means a lot to you. No, it can be a thing. You know, so something that's quite meaningful to you. Maybe it was like the first thing you bought or something, like first of something.
I'll start with maybe a memory because I think there is something, but I'm trying to, I can't remember what it is for now. It'll come to me in a sec. Maybe one of my best memories, maybe one of the most impactful memories, definitely not the best memory because my dad had literally just died, but one of the most like crazy memories of like, whoa, this is crazy.
Yeah.
Was my dad had just died, right? In that minute that he died, I was like literally in the other room. Like I'd just gone for a second into another room just to like get water from the fountain because we were in the hospital for 4 days. So he actually got rushed into hospital on Boxing Day. He had cancer. It was already a long time coming, but that's when his pressure dropped, all that stuff. We knew he was going to die. Anyway, when I came back into that room, obviously I just see my dad die. The doctor said my mom's crying. Obviously my brother was extremely upset as well. And I remember 20 or however long minutes after, we just eventually have to leave the room because they have to like clean the body and all these things. I remember like, I don't have to even explain this, but it's just like the room I'm in. So we leave it down the corridor. Like I remember my mom like stopping for a bit and she was like, just like looking back at the room, like almost thinking like she wants to go back. She knows like, cause if we walk past this like corner here, then we're going to go to the elevator. We're going to go downstairs. She's never going to see my dad again, her husband. So that was like really emotional at the time. I remember being like, whoa, this is crazy. Just like, obviously like, I'm extremely upset. It's my dad, but it's almost like, anyway, I have to become the man of the house. I have to be stronger. It's like you can't, I kind of mentally prepared it was coming because we knew it was terminal.
Yeah.
There's like a few things that I kind of just like allow me to, in the moment, I wasn't that emotional. I wasn't that like, I'd come to peace with the fact that my dad was going to die within a couple of days. Cause when he got rushed on Boxing Day, we knew he only had a couple of days. It's like on the Boxing Day and the 27th of December, that was when I was like, he's going to
die. So emotional, Christmas and everything's
right.
Emotional.
So then it's just like, that moment was super emotional. But I remember just thinking to myself, that's crazy, because my mom, she's still alone now. It's been like 7 years. She's never going to get remarried. Like, she's still quite young. So it's like she has a whole life ahead of her. Whereas my brother and I, you know, we have things to do. Whereas my mom's like, her whole life is like my dad. You know, she doesn't work. She doesn't. Yeah. So it's more sad for my mom even, right? If you, the thing is, kids move out. People always say like, oh, you know, your kids are everything. But it's like your kids will move out. Whereas your partner might be one of the most important, probably the most important life choice you can make. Because
pretty much
the kids might move out at 16. If you have a guy, if you have a son, the son might move out at 16. Especially if you're like, you're an alpha dad and you're like, you know, yeah, get into business, do this, like go date some girls. You, like, you could tell him, yo, leave at 16 maybe. Whereas like your partner, you're going to be with them forever. So it was super emotional for my mom. She's still obviously sad. We're all sad, but I'm saying like probably the hardest for my mom. Yeah. That was probably the most crazy memory. The nicest memory, maybe I was just on holiday somewhere in Turkey and just my whole family was there. We're all by the pool. Just something like that.
Nice.
I don't know if I have any particular, even maybe going to court. So I remember the day before Crown Court, it was an Easter holiday. And I remember telling myself, if I wake up at 7, because the court was like 9 a.m. You know, I actually missed magistrate court. The time I was supposed to go to magistrate court, I missed it. So I was supposed to go to magistrate court. They must have sent me a letter to my uni, but I never checked my mail.
Yeah, of course.
So they called me one day. I was like, the assassin. I was like, yeah, who's this? And they told me that you're supposed to be in court today. I was like, what? Because someone told me that I might be going to court in a few months. I was like, no way. Like,
yeah, you don't believe it. Yeah.
Problem later. So they called me like, you're supposed to be magistrate court, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, long story short, they said, come tomorrow. You have to come. Do not miss it. I promise I won't. I didn't know. I promise I'll be there. Went there anyway. Then they told me you have to come back Crown Court. The day before Crown Court, I knew Crown Court was serious. So I was starting to read up online. It said GBH, grievous bodily harm. I was like, what's GBH? 3 to 18 years in jail, all these things. And I was thinking like, what? Like, because I've not told my mum. I've not told my brother. By the way, my dad died like 2 years, 2.5 years before. So
fucking
I'm thinking,
rough,
I can't go to jail for 3 years. I'm like, you know, my mom will literally like have a heart attack. I was like, this can't happen. Like, I was reading like 3 to 8. No way. All I did was punch the guy once. Like, I know four of his teeth came out, but it's just like, it was a lucky, unlucky punch. Whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Lucky, which if you're trying to. Another reason I used to like getting, you know, a load of stupid scraps when I was a teenager. Avoid fights, because one punch can ruin your life, not just theirs.
I've only been in 2 street fights, and both times I've landed the punch that's like done it and like ended the fight, and I've won, but both times I've lost. And I'll explain the other story maybe after. Both times were very like sad and bad moments.
Yeah.
Night before Crown Court, I'm like nervous. I'm like, so I went to my friend's uni dorm in Nottingham. He was there. He was out with a girl on a date, and I was just sat there in his room. I got the video on my phone. It's like on Snapchat. I'm like looking at myself in the mirror. I'm like trying on the tie, and I'm like, fuck, like this is crazy. Tomorrow I might be going to jail. I haven't told my mom and brother. I'm like, pray to God. Like, hopefully, because it's 50-50 in my mind. Anyway, when I got to the court, the day of the court, they said it wasn't GBH, it was ABH. I was like, okay, is that good? He's like, yeah, it's assault bodily harm. It's not as serious. I was like, okay. That's a good start to the thing. And then I walk in the room thinking, okay, hopefully. Anyway, they gave me what they gave me, $300 community service, blah, blah, blah. But that was probably one of the most impactful things in my life, because like in that moment, that judge, like, so the way the courtrooms obviously work, for those people who don't know, it's just like everyone's facing the judge. The judge is, it's like a teacher in a classroom. The judge is like the teacher in the classroom. Everyone's facing the teacher. But I'm at the back of the classroom. I'm meant, they put you in a glass box. You're at the very back of the classroom, at the back of the room.
Yeah.
So no one can see me. I'm the back. I can see everyone though facing the judge. I'm the back of the classroom. I remember this whole time you're just like, you're looking at the judge like this, and it's just like, this guy literally can just completely impact your life. The sentence would have been 6 months. You served 3. It's not exactly like.
Still, it fucks up. So I know a guy, he went to jail for a little bit, and like now he like kind of can't do anything. Like he can't travel to so many different countries. He's always getting checked up on. His bank accounts have gotten closed. Like it just seems like life's against him now after going to jail. Like once you go behind bars, your life is, it can be really fucked up.
And it could impact your mindset. You might be, you might just start hanging with the wrong crowd. So I'm super grateful that I didn't. But I mean, they just gave me the benefit of the doubt because I had no previous record and all these things. But the point is like, that was a super impactful moment. I was just like, that guy can completely change your life. Because at the time, I wasn't a millionaire.
Yeah.
I was a kid in uni.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be in my degree. I wanted to be at my uni. I don't want to be kicked out and lose everything. So I was like, shit myself. Because I was like, if I go to jail now, I'm going to be kicked out of uni. I'm going to lose everything. I'm going to be a guy in jail and kicked out of uni. And I've no, like, it would have been awful.
Fuck. It's interesting that the most sentimental or striking memories you had are not necessarily like good times. And I think if there's a lesson in there, that the bad times are what make you who you are. So if anyone's listening to this and they think, oh, I'm going through a bad time, you know, screw this, life sucks. No, these are the moments that are going to make you into the person that you want to become.
Completely. It's always like that. I don't think I have good memories for sure. That I'm not trying to make it out like I'm some sad guy. I've got amazing memories.
Yeah,
like,
oh, I'm sure.
I've been to over 30 countries, traveled all over the world. Yeah. It's great. But it's just like, okay, maybe in Mexico I was on this lunch with this one person, and maybe in America I was with these four people, and that was very fun and cool. It's amazing, but it's like, it doesn't impact.
Yeah, it's exactly. You're like, whatever. You're like, Jordan Peterson says, he's like, everyone thinks they want to be sipping margaritas on a beach for months on end. But it's like, no, that's not what's going to give you the memories, and that's not what is going to change you and shape you as a man.
In fact, another like kind of cool memory was when I was in Thailand. Yeah, I was in Thailand and I just, there's like this, it's in Phi Phi Island.
Yeah, I know it. I've been there. Yeah, I've been there a few times. Yeah, yeah. Oh man, I got in it. The boxing ring. Yeah, I got in it. I got knocked out pretty much. Not knocked out, but like, you know, I lost the fight.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I was like,
is that on YouTube?
Yeah, no, this is before YouTube. I was like, oh, it's not. I think I was like, yeah, it would have been 18. I just finished school.
I was 19. Yeah, nice. Yeah. Interesting. So that was in my gap year, the end of gap year, just before uni.
Yeah.
So I got into the fight. I got into the ring. I was like, I'm going to do it. My friends like said, you should do it. And I was like, yeah, I'm not a pussy. I'll do it.
Yeah, of course.
So you're kind of just waiting because they're choosing someone from the crowd.
Yeah, I fought my friend. Yeah,
really?
Yeah, yeah.
We're
buds. Okay. Like, no, it was funny. Yeah, yeah. It was going to win school with each other. But yeah, that's hilarious. Have you any travel plans coming up?
I might be going to India in a few days, but I'm not sure other than that.
Yeah.
I was just going to say with that whole thing. So it's like, with you, did you have kicking in that fight?
No, just punching, just boxing.
So we were kicking and punching. It was like a kickboxing kind of thing.
Yeah.
And because at the time I didn't know how to kick. I won, luckily. But I was like kicking with my foot, not my shin. So anyway, then my friends had to carry me in like this wheelbarrow for like the rest of the holiday. Like literally all the bad things. And then what ended up happening is because I couldn't walk, guess what I ended up doing? I was like, while my friends are playing rugby on the beach, throwing the ball, let me go ride my motorbike. Then I ended up falling off my motorbike and I had like a hole in my leg, and then that ruined the trip further. And it's like always the bad moments I remember.
Yeah,
They're almost like the best times.
That's it. I think that's
more bad times.
That's a lovely
4X. Oh my God, that was my number one most sentiment in terms of money.
What? I don't even know how Forex works. What is it, foreign exchange?
Foreign exchange markets, right. So I thought, okay, this was 4 or 5 months after uni. So I was the most hungry to try and prove to people that I can be successful, I'm smart and all these things. I asked my brother for money because he had like 6 or 7 grand in like an ISA account, right? I'm like, bro, I need this money. I'm going to put it in Forex. I'm going to make money. Trust me, because I bought this trading course and the signal's starting to pay off, blah, blah, blah. Put the money, lost all the money, long story short. Anyway, taught me so many valuable lessons. It was the best thing that ever happened to me. Like all those emotions I had, I spent months doing this thing, looking at the graphs up and down. It taught me so many valuable lessons about money. Thing is, boys, I'd love to talk for 10 hours, but I'm going to try and rush some of these points. Yeah. I just learned that there's no free lunch. That's just the whole lesson. But that was probably the most memorable, impactful thing ever in business, because I see so many of these young guys now. Everyone's trying to make quick money. Everyone's entitled. I'll put the money in Forex. It's like, there's no such thing as making a 10% return a day.
Yeah.
Because then you'd be a trillionaire.
Then everyone would.
Put the number on your calculator. Like, it doesn't make sense. Compounding's powerful, but if you make 5% a day, 10% a day, you'd be a trillionaire like that. And that's not possible, is it? So, and I remember asking myself that. I was like, if I make 2%, 3% returns a day on Forex, because I was at the time, because I was just getting lucky. I was risking too much.
Yeah.
I was like, by the end of the year, I worked on my calculator. I was like, I'd make 500 million. I was like, am I a genius? Is everyone just stupid or like?
So wait, how did you lose it in the end? Like how did it end up going?
So I was doing door to door sales at that time, obviously. And one day I was just knocking on doors and I was just like, I've made £600 for the day. I was like, why the fuck am I here?
Yeah.
I'm going home. I went home at midday. I'm not knocking on doors. Yeah. Went home, then put too many trades and I got, I mean, I was only getting lucky because gold, which I was investing in, XXAUSD or whatever it's called, was just going up. I was
Can't lose.
I was sat there thinking, it can't go down. I was like, just going to keep going up. And I'll just wait for it to go back up. So I'll just wait. And then I just got. We don't need to go into it. It literally gives me PTSD talking about it, but yeah.
But so, right, closing thoughts on, or closing question, whatever it is, what is your advice to 18-year-old Hassan?
Do more, think less. It's my number one thing I always talk about. Do more, think less. Don't overthink. Do more, think less. Like people say to me, yeah, but what about then if this happens? What about if that? Because I hate the people who only preach on about quality. They're like, oh yeah, but it's all about the quality. It's like, maybe you're the kind of guy who believes in quality.
I actually think quantity is reps is more important.
Because what I say is quality is obviously important, But you only get the quality through the quantity. So it's just like, do more. Yeah. And then naturally you find the quality anyway. Steve Jobs said it. It's like, it's smart work beats hard work. But it's like, the only way you get smart work is hard work. So you need both. You need the hard work to reach the smart work. How do you know what's smart? How do you know how to manage your time? How do you know how to be efficient with your day? How do you know how to, you know, talk to the right people and not talk to the wrong people? By talking to the wrong people first. How do you know that Forex isn't just going to make you a multimillionaire overnight, starting with a $5,000 investment? Yeah. By losing your $5,000, by losing your 20K profit, whatever it was. How do you know that sales is important? By, like, you learn from experience. You learn the lesson always the hardest way. So you have to feel the lesson yourself. So I just knew that do more think. I've just learned that do more think less is the best advice. And also everything you think about, all the worries you have, all the anxiety, like, A, it's a pussy way of living. My 50 Cent, my favorite rapper, one of my biggest inspirations. Love him. Has like a quote, it says, fear nothing. It's on his book. It says nihil temendum est. It's like Latin for fear nothing. My favorite thing is like fear nothing. Like, why are you going to live in anxiety and doubt? And action removes anxiety and doubt. That means action is my best friend. That means do more, think less. That means no overthinking anything. I didn't prepare this podcast, but I knew who you were anyway. So maybe that's why I've seen a lot of your content over the years. And I thought, okay, maybe if I spent 3 hours planning it, it'd be that much better. But then it's like,
just overthinking.
Then maybe I make it that much worse.
Yes.
Exactly. I think this podcast is probably my favorite one I've done. So.
Man, I absolutely loved it. It was one of my favorite as well. And I'm just like, what a way to kick off this Dubai trip. You got me pumped up, man.
Yeah.
Tell the people where they can find you.
On Instagram, I have two accounts, but my main one for like business and stuff, Mr. Overpaid. On Twitter, Mr. Overpaid. On YouTube, Hassan Overpaid. That's it, man.
Yeah, on Twitter as well. Twitter.
Oh, yeah, Twitter, Mr. Overpaid.
Twitter's my favorite one.
The main one, yeah.
It's my favorite one. Here, look, thank you so much.
Thank you, bro.
Let's have a good time in Dubai this month.
Thank you, bro.
Put it there.